Today's order of worship you'll find printed in your service bulletin. And please note that all the hymns are listed there. We'll be singing as on the hymn board. And then we have the substitute hymn for the glory on the bottom of page 3, which we'll be singing at that point in the service, All Glory Be to God on High. We open our service with prayer. O Lord, our Maker, Redeemer, and Comforter, we are assembled in your presence to hear your holy word. We pray you so to open our hearts by your Holy Spirit that through the preaching of your word, we may be taught to repent of our sins, to believe in Jesus in life and in death, and to grow day by day in grace and holiness. Hear us for Jesus' sake. Amen. Invite you to rise. Begin our worship service on this Sunday in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord,
who made heaven and earth.
I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And you forgave the iniquity of my sin.
Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, we poor sinners confess unto you that we are by nature sinful and unclean, and that we have sinned against you by thought, word, and deed. Therefore, we flee for refuge to your infinite mercy, seeking and imploring your grace for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. O most merciful God, who has given your only begotten Son to die for us, have mercy upon us, and for his sake grant us remission of all our sins, and by your Holy Spirit increase in us true knowledge of you and of your will, and true obedience to your word, to the end that by your grace we may come to everlasting life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, has had mercy on us and has given his only Son to die for us, and for his sake forgives us all our sins. And to those who believe on his name, he gives power to become the children of God and has promised them his Holy Spirit. And he who believes and is baptized will be saved. Grant this, Lord, unto us all.
Amen.
Hear my prayer, O Lord. Give ear to my pleas for mercy. Enter not into judgment with your servant.
For no one living is righteous before you.
I remember the days of old. I meditate on all that you have done.
I have pondered the work of your hands.
I stretch out my hands to you.
My soul thirsts for you like a parched land.
Answer me quickly, O Lord. Let me hear in the morning of your steadfast love.
For you are my trust.
Teach me to do your will, for you are my God.
Let your good spirit lead me on level ground.
Glory be to God.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, forevermore. Amen. Lord, have mercy upon us. Christ, have mercy upon us. Lord, have mercy upon us. All glory be to God on high, and thanks for all his favor. No harm can touch or terrify a child of God forever. The Father's love, the Savior's birth, bring peace, goodwill to all the earth. Oh, thank him for his goodness.
Let us pray. Almighty and most merciful God, of your bountiful goodness, keep us, we pray, from all things that may hurt us, that we, being ready in both body and soul, may cheerfully accomplish whatever things you want done. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
The first lesson today is drawn from the book of Ephesians in the first chapter, the opening words of Paul to the Christians living there in and around Ephesus, where he highlights the spiritual blessings that all who are in Christ through faith in him have become children of God have in their possession. And also a remarkable truth contained in this text is that even before the world's foundation was ever laid, the Lord predestined those in love to be such who had all these blessings in Christ. Notice also in Christ repeated throughout the lesson for his sake. It's in Ephesians 1, verse 3 and following. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us in the beloved. In him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will, according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ, as a plan for the fullness of time, to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. In him, we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of his glory. In him, you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. Here ends the first lesson. Blessed are they who hear the word of God and treasure it. Alleluia.
Alleluia. Alleluia. Alleluia.
Our next lesson is drawn from Mark's gospel in Mark chapter 6, beginning with verse 7, where we hear about Jesus sending out his 12 apostles.
Glory be to you, O Lord.
And he called the 12 and began to send them out, two by two, and gave them authority over the unclean spirits. He charged them to take nothing for their journey except a staff, no bread, no bag, no money in their belts, but to wear sandals and not to put on two tunics. And he said to them, whenever you enter a house, stay there until you depart from there. And if any place will not receive you, and they will not listen to you, when you leave, shake off the dust that is on your feet as a testimony against them. So they went out and proclaimed that people should repent. And they cast out many demons and anointed with oil many who were sick and healed them. Here ends the second lesson.
Praise be to you, O Christ.
Please stand as we now confess our Christian faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be multiplied to you from God our Father and from his Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for consideration today is found written in Amos, the prophet, in chapter 7, verses 10 through 15. Then Amaziah, the priest of Bethel, sent to Jeroboam, king of Israel, saying, Amos has conspired against you in the midst of the house of Israel. The land is not able to bear all his words. For thus Amos has said, Jeroboam shall die by the sword, and Israel must go into exile away from his land. And Amaziah said to Amos, O seer, go, flee away to the land of Judah, and eat bread there and prophesy there. But never again prophesy at Bethel, for it is the king's sanctuary, and it is a temple of the kingdom. Then Amos answered and said to Amaziah, I was no prophet, nor a prophet's son, but I was a herdsman and a dresser of sycamore figs. But the Lord took me from following the flock, and the Lord said to me, Go prophesy to my people Israel. So far the text. Christ Jesus, our Savior, dear Christian friends, are you familiar with the various divisions of the Bible? It can be a useful and helpful tool to have in your Bible study toolbox as you read and search the Scriptures to know that the Old and New Testaments both are divided into three parts. The New Testament contains five historical books, Matthew through Acts, the life and ministry of Jesus and the spread of the gospel into the world in the book of Acts after Pentecost. Then 21 doctrinal books from Romans to Jude containing teachings of Jesus. And then one prophetical book, Revelation. And then the Old Testament also has three general divisions. There are 17 historical books, Genesis through Esther, five poetry books, beginning with the book of Psalms through Song of Solomon, and then seven prophetical books, Isaiah through Malachi. And that last category of prophetic books of the Old Testament can be subdivided into two parts, major and minor prophets. Last Sunday we considered a text from the major prophet Ezekiel. We heard the teaching of the Bible on the doctrine of the divine call. And then today we're going to examine a text from one of the minor prophets, Amos. And by the way, should be noted that the Old Testament prophets are called major and minor not because of the relative importance of their writings. They're all important as inspired books of the Bible for us to read and study and are beneficial to us as Christians. But some are called major prophets and others minor simply because some prophets wrote big books with lots of chapters and others quite small in comparison, like Obadiah, the minor prophet, one chapter. This morning we want to see how the Holy Spirit inspired writings of minor prophets contain some very major teachings, that is, major in the sense of important for our instruction and our faith lives as God's people. And we will see how Amos sets before us distinguishing characteristics of prophets that are true and those who are false, and what oftentimes happens when a false prophet meets a true prophet. Sadly, the false prophet continues promoting his lies, whereas the true prophet keeps on confessing God's saving truths. So who was Amos, this true prophet who wrote our text? He was a man of humble origins who worked as a shepherd and a caretaker of sycamore fig trees in the tiny village of Tekoa in the south of Judea, about 9 miles south of Jerusalem, part of the southern kingdom of Judah. You may remember after Solomon, the kingdom of David was divided into two chunks, the northern kingdom of Israel and the southern kingdom of Judah. And as Amos was doing his work as a herdsman of sheep and a fig tree caretaker down there in the southern kingdom of Judah, the Lord came to him one day and called him to be a prophet to the people living up in the northern kingdom of Israel. More on Amos later in our sermon. For now, let's take note of another prophet mentioned in our text, Amaziah. Concerning him, we're told that he was a priest of Bethel, a city in the northern kingdom, where a prominent idol shrine had been built, a chief center of golden calf worship. When Amos, in obedience to God, traveled up to Bethel in the northern kingdom to proclaim God's word, this Amaziah sent a memo to the king of the northern kingdom, Jeroboam. He was a godless ruler, was all in for idol worship, even though at this time all things outwardly in his kingdom were looking good, times were prosperous, standard of living high. Israel's moral and religious life was virtually bankrupt. But this Amaziah, he sent word to this godless king Jeroboam, criticizing the true prophet of God, Amos. He said, "He's raising a conspiracy against you, Jeroboam, speaking things no one can bear listening to. He's saying that you're going to be killed with a sword, and the people of your realm are going to be carried off into exile in a distant country." And then he also had a strong rebuke for Amos, and he said to him, as we heard in our text, "Get out of you here, you good-for-nothing seer. Return to the land of Judah where you came from. Do your prophesying down there. Quit preaching here in Bethel. This, after all, is the king's sanctuary and the temple of the kingdom." Of course, what lay behind Amaziah's criticism of Amos was that he wanted to keep proclaiming to the king and the people of his realm who came to worship at the Bethel idol shrine the same messages that he had been preaching. Things are going to be okay. All is well. Don't worry about bad times coming. Don't listen to Amos. Amaziah, he didn't want to speak out against the sin of idolatry or share a message of repentance for sin and trusting in the Lord for forgiveness and life eternal alone in him. Now we fast forward to Jesus' time, and of course we know, don't we, that Jesus, the great prophet of God, our heavenly prophet, experienced similar opposition and much worse. We think, for example, of all the run-ins that he had quite a few times with the religious leaders, the Pharisees and the scribes and the Sadducees. And remember the reaction the Lord got after his grand miracle of feeding the 5,000? First, favorably, the people were, initially, they were impressed, thinking, boy, it would be great to have someone who can guarantee us with a snap of his fingers all the good things of life. But when Jesus presented himself as the bread from heaven come to bless people with all the good things of life in his eternal heavenly realm through his work as their Savior from sin and death, he said, "Truly I say to you, I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats this bread, he'll live forever. And the bread I will give for the life of the world is my flesh." He would die on the cross. Their response was, "That's a hard saying. Who can listen to it?" Not hard to understand, but hard to accept. Jesus, the Savior of mankind, come to atone for man's sinfulness and bring us new spiritual life. We're looking for someone to help us live the life of Riley here on planet Earth. We're looking for someone to help us rebuild David's earthly kingdom and throw off the Romans. And so, as we read there, it's in John chapter 6, they went back and walked with Jesus no more. Fast forwarding more to our own day, still it's true many cannot bear hearing the words of the Lord, and those who proclaim his saving truths in the Holy Scriptures are often criticized as out-of-touch people. Who should quit? Quit, stop preaching that word. Stop preaching the Bible's account that in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth and all that in them is, and whose impeccable creation was ruined by sin through the sinister workings of Satan, and that the world didn't evolve, or that the world, that's the teaching really that is true, that the world evolved. There's no God, no devil, no afterlife. That's what we want to hear. Stop preaching Jesus' teaching about the sanctity of human life. All life is precious, including the unborn, that abortion is murder. No, it isn't. That's a right. Stop saying that God instituted marriage in the beginning as a lifelong union of one man and one woman, and other versions of marriage are abhorrent to God. And especially, stop talking about the message that God sent his Son to rescue his sin-fallen creatures, and that salvation is a gift apart from my own works. All my good deeds which I do are useless before him, like filthy rags. Jesus' holiness is what I need, given as a gift from God. And he is our one ticket to heaven. There are no other roads. We can't bear to hear that. Go somewhere else to proclaim that message. Not here, not to us. Nor is it surprising to your friends, for the Lord said that it would be so. Through his apostle Paul to Timothy, he said, the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, false prophets, and they will turn their ears away from God's truth and be turned aside to fables. And the world in general, as we know, will always look for teachers who encourage people to have a worldview, a mindset, a way of looking at life that's centered on this life and on the things you can enjoy here. So, friends, should we feel discouraged about this? Maybe even depressed when we notice how things such as Jesus forewarned about are happening? By no means, because he's also promised and continues to provide true prophets who continue to confess his saving truth. In our text, we read how he called that layman preacher, Amos, to proclaim his word. And when Amaziah, the false prophet, told him to basically go pound sand, Amos said, I wasn't a prophet, nor a prophet's son, didn't come from a religious or teacher family. I was a herdsman and dresser of sycamore figs, but the Lord took me from following the flock and said to me, go prophesy, speak my word to my people Israel. And that's what Amos continued to do. He kept right on preaching the Lord's true word, the message of repentance and trust in the Lord God. Though his prophecy was rejected for the most part, Israel's destruction did happen. The king Jeroboam was killed, and Amaziah himself was captured and deported. Amos also foretold in his book that beyond those days of doom and gloom for Israel, the earthly nation, the spiritual kingdom of David would rise, over which David's greater son, the Christ, would reign. And not just over a single nation of people, but in the hearts of people in all the nations of the world, which is an echo of what the major prophet Isaiah wrote in his big book, a prophecy that you may remember from Isaiah 9, that passage, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. The government will be in his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And then he goes on to say, does Isaiah, of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end on the throne of David and his kingdom to establish it and uphold it with justice and righteousness from this time forth and forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will accomplish this. What a message, friends, which our God calls still and enables still his true prophets to share in Jesus' name today, and all Christians, in fact, lay people, all of you are privileged also to share with others, that you can be certain in Jesus, in him, of an eternal future of unparalleled peace and joy. Through faith in Christ's blood, you possess life now and life forever. As Jesus said in the Good Shepherd chapter in one of the New Testament history books, John, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I've come that they may have life and have it to the full. And speaking of grand messages, wonderfully true beyond doubt, that afford us great joy also in life's rough stretches, consider again the words of Paul's letter to the Ephesians that we read earlier. How glorious is the comfort contained in those words, that God blessed you in Christ with every spiritual blessing, and that he chose you in Christ before the foundation of the world was ever laid. He predestined you in love for adoption to himself as sons through Christ. In him you have redemption through his blood, forgiveness for your trespasses according to the riches of God's grace. You have obtained an exceedingly rich inheritance in Christ, and you've been sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of your inheritance till you then finally come into full possession of it to the praise of the Lord. Every spiritual blessing, yours in Christ. That's the message we have to proclaim as true prophets of the Lord. And as God's child in possession of life to the full, life now and forever, also you can keep raising your Ebenezer, as we sang in the opening hymn 686. Did you catch that reference in the opening hymn? And do you know what that means? Where it comes from? Here I raise my Ebenezer, based on words from the Old Testament history book of 1 Samuel, where we're told how God gave his people back during the times of great turmoil in their history, when those Philistines were roughing them up and being a thorn in their side, and they were actually suffering self-inflicted trouble. The Lord allowed for their wanderings away from him to discipline as a loving father, but they then turned to the Lord in repentance, and they prayed for his help, and then he blessed them then with a resounding victory over the Philistines. We read in 1 Samuel that the prophet, true prophet Samuel, then took a stone, he set it up near Mizpah, where they won this military victory, and he named it Ebenezer, which means a stone of help. A reminder to all the people whenever they would see that memorial marker that so far, as he said, the Lord has helped us. The whole stanza from that hymn we sang is as follows, if I may repeat it. Here I raise my Ebenezer, hither by thy help I've come, and I hope by thy good pleasure safely to arrive at home. Jesus sought me when a stranger wandering from the fold of God, he to rescue me from danger interposed his precious blood. He shed his blood on the cross to gain our salvation. Now, as children of God, repentant, trusting Christ in all the troubles that we run into in the enemy territory of a sin-corrupted world, we know the Lord's going to continue to be our Ebenezer, our helper. He'll take good care of us, and he will keep providing true prophets to proclaim his soul-comforting, life-directing word. Rejoice in that promise. And Lord, help us all to hold fast to his word, to keep sharing it for our own blessing and for the blessing of others who may cross our path as we pilgrim towards home. Amen. And the peace of God, which is able to protect you far more effectively than the human mind, guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.
Let in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me with Spirit. Amen.
I think I'll invite you to remain seated for the prayers today. We have several petitions to offer in addition to the altar prayer and then the Lord's Prayer. We offer a petition on behalf of Caleb Rankin, the grandson of Bob and Carol, who was seriously injured in a car accident last week. He was in ICU, and I understand now he's out of ICU in a hospital in Wheat Ridge. And then a prayer on behalf, as we had a prayer last Sunday, for missionary Peter Evenson, who was, again, on furlough from his mission work in Nigeria. And he is experiencing a very serious foot ailment, infection, and he was out of the hospital, and he went back in recently because of clotting in his foot, and he's receiving treatment for that, too. He has to use a walker to get around. And then also, as you probably have heard, and we want to offer a prayer on behalf of the victims suffering on account of the incident that took place in Pennsylvania yesterday at a political rally. So we offer these petitions. Gracious Lord, in your wisdom, you've permitted Caleb to be injured in a car accident. While we do not understand your purpose in allowing this to happen, we are assured by your word that in all things you work for the good of those who love you. We thank you for preventing more serious harm to come to Caleb. We pray that you would permit him to recover from his injuries. Give to him and his family members patience and faith that humbly and thankfully submits to your will and direction each day. In your saving name, we pray. Father of mercies and God of all comfort, our only help in time of need, look with favor upon your servant Peter Evenson. Assure him of your mercy. Deliver him from the temptations of the evil one, and give him patience and comfort in the medical ailment he is enduring. If it please you, restore him to good health, or give him grace to accept this tribulation with courage and hope, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Dear Savior, our good shepherd, you taught us that the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy, but you have come to bring us life to the full. Remember in your mercy those traumatized by this violent attack and comfort them with your presence and promises. Comfort the family members of the one whose life was tragically snuffed out. Heal those who suffered injuries. Receive our thanks for the care provided by first responders and those who minister to the victims of such tragedies. Grant to all the peace you provide by your victory over death. Thwart the desires of those who would sow fear and discord within our borders and lead them to repentance. We offer these prayers with confidence, for you have suffered in your own body the irrational hatred and violence of evildoers, and you overcame them with divine compassion and your forgiving love. Amen. O Holy God, we also thank you that you have so generously given to the world its daily bread, providing the rich earth with its wonders untold, the seed whose powers unfold in abundant harvest with the sunshine that you provide and the rain that makes the fields fruitful. We especially thank you that in your boundless love you've provided for our soul's hunger in the gift of the bread from heaven, Jesus Christ, your Son. Grant, O Father, that we may believe on him with all our hearts and find the joys and satisfactions of this heavenly food. O Lord, we cry for forgiveness and pardon. Turn us to Jesus Christ, your Son, who was bruised for our iniquities and wounded for our transgressions, that by his blood we may be cleansed, healed, and forgiven. O God, grant that we may also find in Christ the strength we do not find in ourselves, the power to uphold us in the toil and the conflict of this earthly life, the resolution to do your will so that we may be your true and faithful servants, and the will to overcome our weaknesses and yield ourselves to righteousness and holiness. Set watchmen over your church who shall pray without ceasing for the work of the gospel in all lands. Preach your true word with all boldness. Prepare your people for the time when our Lord Jesus shall return to earth and present unto you in the end a holy and redeemed church, a blessed priesthood of believers. Graciously be the help of all of our families. Implant your word in the hearts of our children and your love in our parents, so that they may enjoy now and forever the fruits of holiness. And as we leave this place, O Lord, may each of us keep in mind our calling, always bearing in mind that we are your temples in which you graciously condescend to dwell. Today and every day, move us to live as your children in your presence, through our Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we also pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Please rise. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Fill our hearts with